Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28. Today I want to speak on the irreplaceable gospel. I could say indispensable. It is irreplaceable, meaning there's nothing else that will do what the gospel does. There's nothing else we're called to in reaching the world except the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need an addendum, another volume, something more modern. The gospel is irreplaceable. Jeremiah 23, verse 28. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Let's pray. Lord, there's nothing to compare in equality with your word. That, Lord, you've told us the answer in Christ, in the gospel. That we can be saved fully without any extra stops to make by the gospel, by our Lord Jesus. That our sin can entirely be rolled away, that our righteousness from you be fully given by the gospel and our belief in our Lord Jesus and his work. And so, Lord, we note that because in our day and in our history of humanity, there is always an attempt to replace the gospel. It is happening today as much as ever. Help us to stay true to it, to believe in it, and to see the fruit that it bears in the salvation of souls, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I know some of you ladies here have handbags. Let me ask you a very personal question. Is your handbag the real thing? Or is it a fake? I know some of you wearing jewelry. Is it the real thing? Or is it fake? Your shoes. Are they the real thing? Or are they a knockoff? And I could go on. You actually can buy designer labels, just the labels, to sew onto your clothes. Ralph Lauren. Buy something that's not Ralph Lauren, sew Ralph Lauren on, it's a Ralph Lauren. These are called knockoffs. Even airplane parts have knockoffs in our society. Drugs have knockoffs. Some people buy drugs. You wondered why they were so cheap. They're knockoffs. Sunglasses can be knockoffs. Something that is not the real product, but pretends to be. You can get a t-shirt that has a six-pack on it. Instant six-pack. I mean, not a beer, but a, you know, what I have. I had a truck, a 1956 International pickup truck. I had a keychain that said Rolls Royce on it. So that would just be pretend. Can the gospel be replaced? Can the gospel be a knockoff? And of course it can be knocked off. It can be faked. It can be counterfeited. But it can't be replaced. It can be ignored or avoided or disrespected or despised, but it can't be replaced. It can be disbelieved and dishonored. It cannot be replaced. The gospel is the only means by which we receive the message of Jesus Christ, that he died and was buried to pay for our sins, that he rose from the dead victorious over our sins to give us new life by faith in him. There's no other true gospel. Kids, when they're growing up, one day they decide they want new parents. You know what the Bible says? Obey your parents, don't replace them. Kids are told, you're not getting another set. Oh, but you know, we get a certain age and we know more than our parents. Oh, we got to trade these in. God says obey. So there's always this thought that if we don't like the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll just go up to heaven another way. We'll find another treasure map. We'll get another direction. And we'll get there another way. We'll get another religion. We'll get another prophet. We'll get another Savior. And that's how we'll go. We'll replace the gospel's claim that Jesus is the only way, and we'll go another way. And this is happening all the time. Jeremiah, where we are in this text, preached in a time when the people really needed the word of the Lord. Look back at Jeremiah chapter 1, and you'll see the times in which he lived and why this is so. Jeremiah 1, verse 1. Here he is giving his introduction about his times in which he is prophesying. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came. In the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. You see where he is? He is the prophet of the end of Judah. And the word of the Lord came, if you look at 2 Chronicles 36, the word of the Lord came through the prophets for the purpose, in mercy, of keeping judgment from falling upon them. So Jeremiah was one of those prophets. And he preached the word to them. And 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them. Shows the urgency of it. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people and till there was no remedy. Turn, no. Turn or be destroyed, no. And the time came when they ignored to the point where there was no remedy. This, back to Jeremiah 23, we look up a few verses at verse 16. And you'll see there were other prophets prophesying at this time, at the end. Verse 16, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the inclination of his own heart, imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. That was their message. There's going to be peace, and if you walk according to the imagination of your own heart, nothing's going to happen. That's the way they were preparing the people of God to face the end. And by departing from the Lord, they brought the nation to the brink of disaster. And the prophet said, don't change. Nothing bad is going to happen. Just stay the way you are. You know, you go to the doctor. What do? Bring you in. You're already, if you're like me, You don't want to be at the doctor. So what do? They bring you in, and the first thing they do, put you on a scale and weigh you. So there you go. I'm always looking up something to pull up on. They weigh you. And so you get into the doctor, and the doctor looks, and he notes your weight and your blood pressure and all that stuff. Does he ever say, yeah, just keep on doing that? Whatever you're doing. You've gained 49 pounds since I saw you last month. Just keep on doing that. Keep on that diet. What have you been eating? Well, I've only been eating fat back. Well, keep on. Just do that. Well, they tell you to change. They tell you to lose weight. They tell you to eat something else, you know. But these prophets, the people are heading to destruction, and look what they say. You're going to have peace, and you can live however you want to live. Nothing's going to happen. Do you ever hear that in our own day? This is exactly the same problem we have. The greatest threat to society is wickedness. Look at verse 19 of chapter 23 here. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. Well, we got financial though. We got a lot of problems in society. Yep, but that's not the big thing. Wickedness. In our day, what people say to do to handle wickedness is to do more wickedness and to accept wickedness in other people. But that is completely against God. We're considered to be anti-human if we speak against things which are sinful in the Word. And so that's what they were doing. Let's just do what you're doing. Do what you're doing. God's not going to judge you. There's not going to be anything happen. Just let the government take charge. Let the professionals tell you how to live. Don't listen to the Lord. Prophets were very zealous in this, verse 21 of this chapter. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. They ran. There are people who will go to a lot of trouble and a lot of travel to go to an abortion rally. Carry signs that say, you know, kill babies, basically. They run and they defend something which God will not defend. They go through hardships even, travel to do so. If society can be redeemed without salvation, we don't need the gospel. And that is the position society takes, that we don't need to be saved in our souls. We need to be ordered out on the outside. We need to be directed some way. We need to have politicians lecture us. We need to have new laws in place. And then we will be better. Because the world does not believe in original sin. The world does not believe we're born in sin. Progressivism, one of the main tenets of progressivism, and that goes all the way back to the Founding Fathers' day. The main tenet of progressivism, which is very popular and common today as a solution, is that people are basically good. And since we're basically good, we can be fixed from the outside. Past that, I noticed it this morning, that van down there on the road left as you go back down, it's got the two trees or two or three trees going up in it. It's like going to that thing and saying, I think we can fix this. I think we can make it run. Just have to cut these trees down. It'll pull right out. The fact that society believes that people are good, whom God has said are dead in trespasses and sin, that's a bad start. Because both people and governments are corrupt. So we have the gospel. Verse 23, first of all, let's look at the loss of foundation. We'll go back a few verses to verse 23 to start this. If you lose the foundation that you're trying to work off of to fix something, there's no way you can fix it. If you get on the wrong bus, you'll never be able to get in the right place to get on the right bus. And basically, society's gotten on the wrong bus. This is the bus that's going to take us to the promised land, but it's going the opposite direction. And Jesus described, if you look at Matthew 7, which are very familiar verses, Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus described, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the two foundations, just the two foundations that you can have under you. Matthew 7, 24, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's the one foundation. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So foundation one is the rock. Verse 26, now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. That's the second. So if you neglect the words of Jesus, you build on sand. If you hear the words of Jesus, you build on rock. How often do you think, when our society is trying to figure out how to solve crime and all kinds of other social ills, how many times they say, you know, we better build on the words of Jesus or we're only going to be building on sand? None of them, probably. Because there's that optimistic humanism. There's that belief that we can change because we're good, basically. And society will change. If you tell people, don't be a racist, they'll stop. If you tell people, don't be angry, don't kill people, don't steal. I mean, it's almost like we should make some laws against that. People do it anyway. And so these two foundations, if you build on the wrong one, there's no way it will survive. Even life cannot be survived. So these false teachers, verse 23 back in Jeremiah 23. Look what the problem they have. God says, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him? What he's basically saying there is they believe God is something other than he is. That he can't see, he's not there. They think he's far off when he's near. And he can't see what they're doing in secret. Verse 24 talks about, see, you don't think I can see that? They think he's a small, localized, limited God. So they're starting off believing something about God that is not true. He says there, do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? That's God. If you don't believe the right thing about God, he fills heaven and earth, you're not starting on the right foundation. I probably shouldn't use this illustration in these times, but I think it's fine. When we're growing up, we learned to shoot guns. And one gun we learned to shoot is a shotgun. At least we did. We also had before that, I had a stopper gun. Never stuck, but you know, that's what it was. And we had these little fake guns. And we had these rifles and shotgun things that were plastic. And then one day came, and it was time, Dad said, you learn how to shoot a gun. It was a 22 at first, but then there was the shotgun. And my brother had a 20 gauge shotgun. It's not real powerful. It knocked him against the house when he shot it. I was there. Knocked him against the house. Because he held it kind of like this. Kind of a lazy thing. It hit his shoulder and knocked him back. The reason, because he didn't realize it wasn't a plastic gun. It wasn't a stopper gun. It wasn't a BB gun. It was a shotgun. And think how much more of an error it is when people, prophets, people who give advice in these days, do not reckon upon the character of God who fills heaven and earth. They don't know his nature. So verse 25, I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. They speak from the deceit of their own heart. They claim to have dreams. And they take those dreams as from God, if they even have them. Listen, first thing to do every morning, before you drink coffee, if you drink coffee, or have breakfast, is filter out your dreams you just dreamed the night before. You know what I dreamed last night? That I went to the eye doctor, and he had a replacement eye for me to unplug this one and to plug in the next one. And I did it. And Cindy was with me in the dream, and I said, you know, I can actually see better with that eye. Now, if I don't filter that out, I'm going tomorrow to the doctor and say, give me one of those fancy fake eyes. You got to filter your dreams out every morning. But these prophets, they prophesied lies. They deceived the people by the things that they proclaimed. I already mentioned what they said, there's going to be peace and they don't need to change. And so they changed the truth and made it a lie. But the worst thing is this. They then said they were speaking from the Lord. Their dream came from the Lord. Then it amps it up. Because now they're saying God gave them these lies. This past week, our brother Jimmy Carter from Plains, Georgia, said he did not think Jesus would have any problem with gay marriage. That Jesus would be in favor of that. You know why he said that? Because Jimmy's in favor of it. Franklin Graham came out and said, you know, sorry, Mr. Ex-President, but Jesus would not have that attitude toward it, since the Bible speaks of homosexuality as a sin. So, but to Jimmy Carter, it just seemed like the proper thing, because it's very PC, it's very woke. Jesus must agree. Remember when Jesus agreed with Shirley MacLaine? Basically, what people do is say, here's what I think, and by the way, Jesus told me to say that. It happens in churches all the time. It's easy to pick on the world. How many times you hear somebody say, oh, the Lord led me, and when you find out what the Lord led them to do, it's not what the Bible says. I've come to the conclusion that the Lord is leading every person to avoid all small churches. They always are led to a big church. And I mean, I'm saying they're not, but it's just that you'd think some of them, the Lord would have some mercy on some small churches and lead some people here or to some other small churches. I found that God has been telling people to go to churches that don't preach the word. Oh, yeah, God led me to this church. That church? Yeah, God did that, yeah. And they don't preach the word. The Lord is leading people to separate and run away from others instead of reconciling with them. When the Bible says we should forgive each other and reconcile. Oh, but they said, no, the Lord led me away from that. I mean, the Lord is being blamed for everything. Nothing happens today, it seems, unless the Lord did it or led someone. And it's against his will, even. And so these prophets come along and say, well, this is what the Lord said. And they're speaking from their own hearts and stamping God's approval on it. You imagine if Jessica one day starts to go out with a drug dealer. Let's just talk among ourselves here. She goes out with a drug dealer and she gets on, well, I don't know, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And she says, I want to thank my daddy for leading me to this drug dealer. And daddy's going to go, what? If daddy ever hears about it. And she needs money, so she robs a bank, of course. And they say, why did you rob it? Well, daddy said it would be a good idea. Daddy didn't say that. That's what these prophets are doing. The prophets are saying, this is the word of the Lord. And it's not. And you see, the very first two verses of this chapter 23 of Jeremiah, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. They're scattering. Most of the solutions that are being offered today by progressives, by government powers, by people in charge of things, are scattering because they're not held up in truth. We're supposed to accept things that aren't true. You can find that in the popular media today, the mainstream media. I mean, if they tell the truth, they get suspended probably. Because the bulk of it is just lying. And then what happens? It divides people. Well, verse 28 and 29, gets us back to the true foundation. And the Lord makes this very clear. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Here's a comparison. Let the prophet dream a dream. And tell it. And let the one who has my word proclaim that. So, you dream a dream, let it out. These guys on TV always dreaming, and then they tell the dream, oh, I had a dream, tell the dream. The Lord says, I want to make a contrast. And let those who have the word of God proclaim that. That's why God told Timothy to preach the word, be diligent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Why? Because a day would come when they don't want to hear it. They want to hear things like these false prophets said. It's going to be fine, just stay the way you are, and you're going to have peace. That's what they want to hear. That's why Micaiah got locked up. Because he said there's going to be judgment. The 400 prophets said, oh, it's going to be fine. Verse 28 says, what is the chaff to the wheat? Chaff is just, dust. What is that? Wheat is food. One is waste. Look at Psalm 1. It uses the same contrast and much the same subject. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. It's a waste. It just blows away. Nothing. Worthless. So the prophet dreams his dream and tells his lies. It's chaff. The one who has the word of God speaks, and it's wheat. You see, it's a knockoff. And the word of God is genuine. My sister ordered a record one time, and when it used to have records, some of you probably don't even know what a record is. An LP. And it was famous songs all in one place. Great deal. And so she got the record. The only song I can remember on it was Band on the Run. It was on it. Paul McCartney and Wings. She played it. It wasn't Paul McCartney and Wings. People had pretended to be the artist. And you know, you can tell the difference, can't you? Somebody covers a song that's a famous song, popular song. She had it. It's fake. The false prophecy is fake. It can only be that. It cannot accomplish. If some prophet says, oh, you don't have to worry about believing in Jesus, you'll be fine. That's fake. How's it going to help you? God's word is irreplaceable. And the only means by which society is bettered, in all this attempt to get rid of crime and get rid of all this hostility and hatred among people and to get on the right track, the gospel is the means of bringing that about. If a person is saved, their heart is changed. Now, we're told here, verse 29, is not my word like a fire? Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal? They cried out all day and nothing happened. And then Elijah cried and he said, let the God who answers by fire be God. And God, the true God, answered by fire, licked up the sacrifice. Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Now you know why there's a hammer on the front of the bulletin. It's like a hammer. It breaks rocks in pieces. It actually has the power to do what needs to be done. And what needs to be done in our society is not to make more regulations and rules that sinful people cannot follow and that officials and professionals don't have the wisdom to give. It only comes from God to tell us how to live. And so the gospel is the way for that. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But in Ezekiel 36, we're told that God will give us a new heart and take the stony heart out of us. That's how you change society, and that is only by the gospel, and there's no other way except through Jesus Christ. We've learned that already. This is the 11th sermon in the gospel series. We've learned the gospel is authorized from heaven. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. It will be successful. It's powerful. That Jesus came to save sinners, and he will and does. That the gospel is glad tidings, and it must be believed. What else can hold a candle to the gospel? What is the chaff to the wheat? Be careful with this book. Be careful. Because it's not plastic. It's not fake. It's a sword. It's fire. And it's a hammer. Be careful. Do you leave your swords laying around the house? Be careful. Do you put a lit candle on a bunch of clothes? Be careful. Obviously, physically, but in the spiritual realm, this book is a powerful, dangerous book to the world. That's why they want to get rid of it. Sometimes a criminal blockades himself inside a building. Here comes SWAT. Special weapons and tactical. Here comes SWAT. What does SWAT do? Every time I see anything about SWAT, I I tell Sam, I want that gun they got right there. See that, what they're wearing? I want that. I'd like to have that vehicle they just pulled up in. Do you ever see SWAT? Okay, guys, it's ready to go to the building. And then they lay their weapons down and run in? No. They keep it. We have the weapon, the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, fire, a hammer. We don't need a new caliber of it, a new version of it. Good translation's fine. But we don't need a replacement. It cannot be replaced. It works just the way it is. Take it that way. Respect its power. Understand that it properly deals with the fear of God. That it is what God says. It is what is pleased God to deliver to us. And by the gospel, irreplaceable gospel, this whole world can be changed. And we have it in our hands to proclaim. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us with some weak and miserable means of reaching the world you've told us to reach. But the Word of God, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, a fire and a hammer that accomplishes all you send it to accomplish. Lord, may we never lose sight of that and make up our own realities, but follow your word and proclaim it. In Jesus' name.